property, fugitive slaves pushed the nation toward confronting the truth about itself. They incited conflict in the streets, the courts, the press, the halls of Congress, and perhaps most important in the minds and hearts of Americans who had been oblivious to their plight. This manifold conflict, underway long before the first shots were fired in the Civil War, was the war before the war. The problem of fugitive slaves loomed over the Republic from the start. Many of the founding fathers were slave owners themselves, including Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, whose own slaves periodically ran away. The founders made an effort to solve the problem in Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3 of the Constitution, which came to be known, although it referred to indentured servants as well as to slaves, as the Fugitive Slave Clause. No person held to service or labor in one state, under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall, in consequence of any law or regulation therein, be discharged from such service or labor, but shall be delivered up on claim of the party to whom such service or labor may be due. But stating this principle proved to be much easier than carrying it out. Although from the Southern point of view, law-abiding citizens were obliged to return a runaway slave just as if they had come upon stray cattle or stolen cash, the Fugitive Slave Clause was erratically enforced. For the most part, slavery was left to the jurisdiction of the states. In 1793, Congress passed a law that tried to strengthen the constitutional requirement, but the federal government remained too weak to enforce it. Over the ensuing decades, northern states adopted personal liberty laws that put up further barriers to enforcement, including laws guaranteeing jury trials for accused fugitives and prohibiting state officials from assisting in returning them to the South. In fact, most runaways never made it out of the South, where chronic offenders were sometimes mutilated, tendons cut, faces branded as warnings not to try again, and to others not to try at all. But some who did get through to the North or to British Canada gave witness to the cruelties and indignities from which they had freed themselves in the South, and thereby presented a fateful challenge to the political fiction that the two American nations were one. Southerners, blaming Northerners for encouraging slaves to flee or revolt, demanded that the drain of their human property be stopped, while many Northerners deplored the idea that human beings could be considered property at all. For some in the North, harboring a fugitive became a moral imperative dictated by the higher law that comes not from the Constitution or Congress, but from God. By the late 1840s, the problem had become a political and moral crisis, and when Congress attempted to defuse it by passing a fugitive slave law intended to address the issue once and for all, it had the unintended effect of pushing the nation toward violent conflict with itself. The final reckoning was set in motion in 1846 with the outbreak of the Mexican War. With strong but not universal support in the South and against strong but not universal resistance in the North, both halves of the United States joined to wage a war of conquest. By the time the fighting ended 2 years later, the United States had seized a huge swath of land stretching from Texas to California, nearly equal in size to one-third of our present-day nation. This immense expansion of territory under control of the federal government brought back the old question of compromise in a new form. Would slavery be confined to states where it already existed, or would it be allowed to spread into the new territories, which would eventually become states? A growing number of Northerners insisted on the former. White Southerners almost universally demanded the latter. As Lincoln later put the matter, "One section of our country thinks slavery is right and ought to be extended, while the other believes it is wrong and ought not to be extended." The fragile political truce that had held the United States together was coming apart. Then, in 1850, Congress attempted a resolution. The bargain it struck, which came to be known as the Compromise of 1850, belongs to the long history of compromise, beginning with the Constitution itself, by which white Americans advanced their interests at the expense of black Americans. In an intricate balancing act designed to prevent an irreparable rupture between the free states and the slave states, the compromise proposed to keep slaves.